This is the Will Cain Show.
Super Bowl champion, New England Patriot legend, ESPN NFL analyst, Teddy Bruschi. You like that intro?
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. You need to give me a list of your accomplishments so I can also bout them out so I can talk to you.
Water polo walk-on, honorary captain.
No.
One career goal to my record.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. What are you talking about?
I thought you were joking.
No. Those are all facts, man. Those are all facts.
You're wearing a Speedo in the pool, huh?
Let me tell you something, Daddy. I put that Speedo on
Bubba,
every day.
You're wearing a Speedo in the pool, man. What's going on over here?
This is the Will Cain Show.
Love how he appeals to Bubba.
Bubba. Oh, that gets me every time, man.
In the pool, Bubba. That's him giggling. Now, well, here on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all callers at 888-79-3776 on the Shell Pinzo Performance Line. There he is, the comedian himself, one of the hosts of Sunday NFL Countdown, is Teddy Bruschi on the Will Cain Show. What's up, man?
Well, it's great to be with you again, man. It's been a while. That intro gets me every time, man. I've always had fun on your show. What's going on? What's going on? I'm getting texts about this being your last week on the show. You guys, you know, want to get some people on. I'm like, whoa, Will Cain's leaving. What's going on? Where you going? What's up?
I'm leaving Teddy. I am leaving ESPN. I am. This is the last week of the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. I haven't yet announced where I'm going. I do have a destination. Okay. I will be continuing to talk sports and hang out with this audience that I love so much. But yes, it's going to come to an end. It's been a wonderful 5 years. And dude, we don't have to be all serious, but here's the thing. When I first came to ESPN, you were one of the first dudes I talked to. I remember where we were, and it was because we have a mutual friend. I don't think he'll mind at all if we mention it, but it's Larry Izzo, Texas guy. And played with you at the Patriots, and you were so serious, man. I met you. That's why you're so high on our intimidation index. It took me a while to break the Teddy Bruschi ice, but I called Izzo. I was like, now he's going to be cool? Like, I can get there with him? Like, and he's like, you know, your media, it may take a minute, but man, I think I love it. I think we did break through. I love hanging out with Teddy Bruschi now.
Man, we had great conversations every time. I always appreciated your insight, your knowledge. I mean, you came at me from different directions, and even with you got the end through Izzo. So you went the side door, and once Iz vouched for you, I knew you were okay. But, you know, I wish you well wherever you go, man. But
thank you, buddy.
It's good to talk to you again.
Definitely. So my next step is to get into the Kentucky Derby group. So that's what we'll work on next. Once I get into the invite to the Derby, then it's really it. It's really it.
Yeah, not possible, buddy.
Have you cut your hair? Hey, have you cut your damn hair? I've seen these pictures on your social media.
Yeah.
You really embrace the coronavirus hair. Have you cut it yet?
I have not cut it yet. It's still long. I don't plan to. The mullet's back pretty much. My hair grows pretty fast. You know, I've been blessed genetically with a Filipino mother and an Italian father, and the hair genes are pretty good. And it comes in pretty strong. It's almost like a contest with a couple of my sons to see who gets it longer, but, don't plan on anytime soon. And for Sunday Countdown next year, it's going to be a different do. It's going to be different. I plan to keep a little bit of it. So.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Definitely.
I got a couple of little things, more fun things I want to talk to Teddy about here at the end of the segment, but let's do a little football. So earlier in the show, Teddy, I did this. I said, what's a successful season for various teams? And I broke it down. Like, I think it's a wide open NFL year, especially in the NFC. And I think I came up with 10 teams who have legitimate reasons to be disappointed if they don't make the NFC or AFC title game. And then are probably another 4 that have legitimate, for their fan bases, claims to be disappointed if they don't go to the Super Bowl. But as I was breaking it down, there's 2 teams that kind of defied expectation. I want to put them on you. One is the Los Angeles Rams. Like, I don't know what a successful season looks like for the Rams. I mean, obviously winning a bunch of games, but what's realistic? If you don't reach this, it's a failure. And the other is your team. I have no idea what to make of the Patriots and what they should expect to accomplish this year. What do you say?
Right, I guess. All right, let's start with the Rams because they were a team that was, you know, very hard to figure out because you look at their success a couple years ago and then you expect the same thing because you know, the system was good, the quarterback and the head coach, they've got stars on defense. I think you really just have to look into how motivated their players are, because sometimes basically some of these players get some success and they think they've got it all figured out. And the coach is young enough to where, you know, he's not sort of seasoned enough to be that sort of hard ass that is always on someone that makes a player sort of upset at the head coach. And all of a sudden you get complacent. So I think McVay also has to learn how to press his players' buttons and motivate them. That's a big thing. So successful for them next year, 10 to 11 wins. That'd be a success for them, because I think they're used to that high standard, and achieving that would be good for them to get that 10 or 11th win. My former team. All right. I mean, this is a hard one. A hard one, because I know how good the coach is. All right. I know what they're going to be telling them inside the locker room, without someone that's been there for 20 years and given them so much success with Tom not being there. I think they get 9 wins. I think it has to be a success. Because it can be anywhere from 9 to 6. I mean, I was with Belichick when I think we were 5-11 his first year. And if you don't get it and you don't grasp it and you don't embrace the way that he is and the way he coaches you, it can be a tough thing to adjust to. So, and I think the way that he got to the players was that he had Tom there. There are a couple players on defense that I think are almost in that comfortable state where they can be themselves in terms of the McCourties and the Hightowers. A lot of, you know, there are some linebackers there that are comfortable. Chung is one of those players. But I tell you, Tom was that one where he even took a lot of heat for a lot of players in terms of team meetings, and then everyone knew what the standard would be because he would see that Tom was getting it so hard. So now that piece is out. And so the locker room dynamic, the leadership dynamic is sort of in flux, and how that equals into victories is something that I don't know. I mean, 9 wins, 10 wins, it could be anything. Well,
and you got to figure out who the quarterback is. That's the thing. And maybe Stidham, I guess. I don't know. Or put yourself in a position to find that in free agency or the draft next year. That's, to me.
No, it's Stidham. It's going to be Stidham.
100%.
He's that. I think so. I mean, they are going to ride with him and see what he can do. And through that, I mean, you can tell by the way they drafted too. It was all defense. They're trying to make that unit as strong as possible through youth, combination of youth, veteran leadership. Belichick, of course, leading the way. Great young coaches like Mayo is there. Belichick's son, a lot of young up and coming aspects, pieces of that defense, coaching wise and player wise. It's going to be a defense dominated, hopefully run game dominated team where Stidham may be asked to make, you know, 3 to 5 throws a game. And if he can do that successfully on third down, I mean, that's what they're hoping for, but they're going to go with him and hoping he can minimize the mistakes.
Well, I would guess if he wins 9, or even as you said, 10 games, then the biggest accomplishment, I think the biggest mark of success will be he'll be your quarterback a year from now. You know what I'm saying? That's success. If you come out of the season and go, yes, we do have a quarterback that we're going to roll with instead of, not this year, but the year after, that would be big success. Teddy Bruschi, go ahead.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, I mean, even with Brady last year, I mean, a lot of those games were won by defense and special teams. I mean, right. And so they're already used to playing that formula. And, you know, Stidham got a good sort of palette to look at in terms of this is the painting that we wanted, this game right here where we let the defense, you know, make take advantage of mistakes of the other offenses. You just don't make mistakes like this other quarterback is doing, and we'll be okay.
All right, I want to leave with two things here with Teddy Bruschi of Sunday NFL Countdown. Number one, yes, and as of today, that resume has gotten stronger, Teddy. I'm just looking here at PepperdineAthletics.com, and it says most famous waves or best athletes, I can't remember the qualifier here, to ever wear the number 15. And yes, that includes Will Cain of water polo, who wore number 15 for 3 years, whose claim to fame is went on to become a sports radio personality. Nothing about what I did in the water, just what I've done since.
Oh, no, you put the number on the, what is that called you put on your hip?
On your cap, yeah.
The little, the elastic thing. That's where you
quit,
put the number.
Quit. Don't use words like little. Yeah, you're making it small. You're I see what you're doing. You're diminishing it. That little thing you put on your head. I see that what you're doing.
I'm gonna go outside and see how long I can tread water. Actually, I mean, because I don't. How long do you think you can tread water for, Will?
It's not a. Forever. I don't know. It's not a thing. You know what I mean? Now, if you said to me, how long can I do it with my hands out of the water? How long can I do it with my elbows out of the water? And it's been a long time, so I'm not as good as I probably am boasting about being right now. Why, you can tread? You're a big treader?
If I put my arms above me, I'll be sinking straight to the bottom. So,
you know what we used to have to do, Teddy?
Yeah.
You remember those, those Ozarka or whatever brand big water coolers that you have at the office, the big drums?
Yeah.
That you have to turn upside down? We'd have to sit on those till they're full of water, lift that above our head, and tread while it drains. That's what we'd have to do.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't very good at it.
Whoa. That's crazy.
All right, I want to say one more thing here with Teddy Bruschi here on the Will Cain Show. So this is going to sound like a big story, but I want to say two things. It's not a big story. So first of all, it's awesome to see you rise over the last couple of years. I mean, you were here before me, and you were more famous before me, but I know something about how this business works, and it often works like quarterbacks and most famous names. And, of course, you're famous, and you've had multiple Super Bowl victories, and you're a legend. But linebackers often don't get there, and they do if they are awesome at what they do. And you did it. You did it through radio and NFL Live, and you've arrived at a big part of the mountain with NFL Countdown just simply based on how good you are at this. And I just think that is awesome, and people should look, because it's true merit winning out. And I'm so happy that you've gotten there. Second, I know this is important to you, so I'm not gonna belabor this. The other night, Teddy, I told Bubba this, okay? I had a little thing. Actually, I think I fainted or something. I had a thing where I deprived my head of oxygen. I had hiccups. And I got done with it. I was like, I don't know what just happened to me. Something weird just happened to me. And you know what I did? I went to your Instagram. I went to your Instagram, and I looked up, because you're so big on micro strokes, small strokes, all that, and I was looking up the symbols, and I was like, did something happen to me? And it didn't. I went to the doctor, and it wasn't that. It wasn't even a big deal. But I just want to say, like, what you're doing outside this passion to you, it helps people too. Because I went to your thing, and it was the first thing I thought of. Go to Teddy's thing and see how that looked, and see if you're okay.
Buddy, I appreciate that. I've always looked forward to spending time with you, whether it was in the basement of Building 4 or being on you with your show, man. I wish you luck. I wish you success. And, hopefully we'll keep in touch, buddy.
We will, bud. We will. Thank you for everything, Teddy. Thanks for jumping on today.
All right, guys.
Teddy Bruschi of Sunday NFL Countdown here on the Will Cain Show. My turn, the North Shore. There's a couple first-place votes left. Could I get it? With North Shore, My Guilty Pleasure is reviewed next on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
This is the Will Cain Show.
See my man Will Cain out there hanging out. Will Cain think he's smooth. Let me tell y'all something about Will Cain right now. It's not Will Cain that is smooth. It's Mama Cain. Got a beautiful mother. He really, really does. What a sweet woman, and she's gorgeous, too. I flirt with Mama. I'm just saying she's gorgeous. I'm just telling it like it is.
A little bit earlier in the show, we talked about the search for the truth when it comes to what went down in Bubba Wallace's NASCAR garage this past weekend in Talladega. Looks like there might be a statement out by the FBI. Plus, Bubba Wallace was on The View this morning, and he addressed some of the questions about what went down as well. It's important to search for the truth. I think curiosity and questions are very, very vital to not just finding out what happened, but to ensuring that unity is a step forward, that we're always doing something built upon the foundation of the truth. Otherwise, we are actually undercutting any kind of progress. I'll get to you that statement from the FBI and more coming up in just a little bit here on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, where all callers are on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. That's you at 888-729-3776. Now it's time to review My Guilty Pleasure. It is North Shore. Throughout the show today, we have been doing our homework and reviewing one at a time our guilty pleasure movies from this past weekend. It went like this. In the first hour, we talked about Nuno's The Last Dragon. Then, in the second hour, we talked about both Pat's Rumble in the Bronx and Bubba's Freddy Got. And now it is time for my movie, North Shore. At the end of the show, Mike A is up. He had the last pick, and it is Vacation the Reboot. Okay, fellas, North Shore. Here we go.
Defend yourself.
My review first, as has become the custom here today. What's North Shore have going for it? Well, a lot of ocean scenes, Hawaii, Laird Hamilton in body paint, most notably Turtle, who is a gold character. I don't care who you are. Turtle's funny. Turtle is great. Turtle has an Instagram dedicated to him, and I love me some Turtle. Unreal.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. No.
Maybe.
Yeah. No. I love it. I had the whole family watch it. It did say there were some comments, this is not very good. There were another comments, this is bad. And I do worry that you guys are going to vote me last. What's bad about the North Shore? It's a goofy premise. It's a 80s, you know, cheap B movie. It's, you know, it's not great. It's not great. But that being said, for me, and I really am trying to be self-aware, North Shore is number one. I did like it the best.
All right. Listen, I'm actually going to defend you. Maybe it's because of, you know, who says, you know, we don't think alike. I thought that, obviously, Nia Peoples, I think that's number one. I think, as you said, Turtle was great. I think he was... He stole the movie.
Absolutely.
And I loved her, like her little brothers, especially the little fat one.
You see me post that on Instagram? You real bad shredder, huh? He shred so bad, he rip his board. Whatever. His stick.
But he sits there at the, he walks to the door with an Uzi, like, when he knocks
hey,
the door.
What happened? Yeah,
exactly.
Hey, what happened?
So, I think, the part that, like, where him at the end where Rick is just like, oh, you know, it's not about winning or losing or whatever. I think I could deal without that part, but I voted in number one.
You did?
Yes.
Look at you.
What is going
Hold on.
On
before we move on,
what
we
is
have
going
a similar.
Yeah,
look, you know, I voted Last Dragon number two. I like those 80 campy movies better than this over-the-top slapstick new stuff. I just find the unintentional humor better than these dumb jokes. So maybe we share that. All right. I'm actually curious in Bubba's now after that reaction to Nuno.
All right. Well, yeah, I got this in my category of breaking off, where the other two, Last Dragon and Rumble, are movies I'd never want to see. This is in the category where I would consider watching it again. And as for the good, you know, it's probably in that mix of a movie I could see myself watching, you know, when I was 14 and it came on a Saturday morning on the WB. I'd be like, yeah, I'd watch this. You know, it's got one of that feel. The cheesiness of the 80s is pretty much everything that's good and bad about it. Turtle was good, but yeah, the cheesiness was just ridiculous, and I've got it third. I mean, it was okay. I would consider watching it again and putting it on in the background. It's better than Rumble, better than Last Dragon, but it's certainly not great. It's just a, like you said, it's a B movie from the 80s. It is what it is. It's third.
Okay, let me, before I pick Pat or Mike A to go next, what's, Mike A, you have what left? What two places do you have left?
I have one and two.
One and two. And Pat, you have what left?
Two and three.
Two and three.
Okay, let's go to Mike A. Mike, what'd you have for North Shore?
All right, the good. If you remade this movie now with Tom Holland and put a huge budget in it, I think it would do pretty well at the box office. Maybe not break
Hasn't
records.
Been done? It probably has. Been.
It probably has. I think the big problem with this movie was it was low budget. Even for the 80s, it was low budget. I mean, it was beautiful scenes. It was the surfing was actually pretty cool. I get the story. It's cheesy. It's 80s. I mean, it by no means was a good movie. But I didn't hate it as much as the others. I put it two.
All right. And I'm curious about our youngest member, our millennial, for a movie that goes back to 87, which it isn't the oldest. I think Last Dragon was 85, so this is second oldest, Pat.
I enjoyed it. It was a little bit repetitive. It dragged a little bit. the fact that they make it seem like Hawaii is all these just white people and then some evil people, like evil local people, kind of stuck with me a little bit. Like,
that's not what they did. No, no, no. That's not what they did.
It was a lot of white people.
It's a little bit what they did.
No, that's the opposite. You're taking the wrong thing. It's about, first of all, there is localization, you know, at any surf spot, but definitely in Hawaii as well. But you heard, well, what's his name, the Shaper, say, you know, we stole the islands from them. They might be upset with you, you know. And I think that they portrayed the locals as noble and all these like ripper surfers as the bad guys.
As much as I usually disagree with him, I think Pat gets his say.
They're the antagonists for most of the movie. And they do get comeuppance at the end. That being said, I did enjoy it still. I had it second.
Second. Okay. Well, what that tells us is we will by default know where Mike's vacation goes. I don't know yet. We'll go through that ranking, plus let it sort out on what that means of who won Guilty Pleasures. We'll tally up the results. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show, plus an update on the Bubba Wallace situation. It looks like we have something from the FBI. I don't know if it's the results of the investigation, but at least something from the FBI. We'll revisit our conversation from that coming up a little bit on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is Will Cain.
Cole from Georgia.
I disagree about millennials not wanting intellectual conflict because I'm a millennial and I watch your show every day just to get punched in the face, basically.
Will Cain. More coming up.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
The FBI's investigation into the supposed and reported noose found in Bubba Wallace's garage is complete. And it is devastating for NASCAR. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio with all callers on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. I quote now from a release from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Northern District of Alabama. Joint statement from U.S. Attorney J.E. Towne and FBI Special Agent in charge of Johnny Sharp Jr. regarding the noose found in NASCAR's Bubba Wallace garage at Talladega Superspeedway. I quote, on Monday, 15 FBI special agents conducted numerous interviews regarding the situation at Talladega Superspeedway. After a thorough review of the facts and evidence surrounding this event, we have concluded that no federal crime was committed. The FBI learned that garage number 4, where the noose was found, was assigned to Bubba Wallace last week. The investigation also revealed evidence, including authentic video, confirmed by NASCAR, that the noose found in garage number 4 was in fact, or in that garage, as early as October of 2019. It had been there for over 6 months. Although the noose is now known to have been in garage number 4 in 2019, nobody could have known Mr. Wallace would be assigned to garage number 4 last week. The decision not to pursue federal charges is proper after reviewing all available facts and all applicable federal laws. We offer our thanks to NASCAR, Mr. Wallace, and everyone in cooperating with this investigation. There were suggestions on social media throughout the last day or so that this quote-unquote noose was a pulley handle on the garage doors at Talladega. There are pictures that you can find, and I have no idea about the authenticity of these photos, but to show that multiple garage doors had these loops, pull handles, but not Bubba Wallace's. It was missing, as though it had been missing and had broken off. This report says, and it doesn't suggest that those pulley handles are what they're talking about here, but whatever was found there had been there since October of 2019, and nobody would have known that Bubba Wallace would have been signed to that same garage. This is devastating to NASCAR. I spent the first hour of the show today, some of the first hour, talking about how important it is to search for the truth. Do you know what's important? Having people who are interested in the truth. Questions, curiosity, a search for the truth have been dismissed. I can go back to my first hour and I can look at my social media and there will be people that question me for asking those questions. Oh, you're racist. How dare you not accept exactly what NASCAR or Bubba Wallace said? Bubba Wallace, for his part in this, I don't think ever knew much about it. The reports are he never saw it. He was only told by somebody on his team that a noose was found in the garage. He never was presented with the evidence that I know of. I don't know how much a part he was of this really quick investigation by NASCAR, which really totaled only a couple of hours before they put out their press release and said this happened and then turned it over to the FBI. The real egg on the face is twofold in my mind. It is NASCAR for rushing to a conclusion. Why would you do that? This country is at a uber-sensitive moment. Racial relationships are living on a knife's edge right now. Tension could not be higher. Why would you not care about the truth? This has real repercussions. This has real cost. Number two, you want indictment? It's people that do what I do for a living. That's real indictment. Real indictment. Spending the last couple of days taking as assumption, as fact, a certain thing, making broad societal indictments on each other, on this country. And don't hear this. Please, don't hear this and think what I'm saying is racism does not exist. Do not take the words coming out of my mouth and let them enter your ears that way. If you do, I promise you, you have deeper problems. How about this? If you needed a noose in Bubba Wallace's garage to believe there was racism in America, you also have deeper issues and problems. What we have done here is do several things. Undercut our own credibility. In our rush to emphatically show our own virtue, rush to emphatically condemn, we show how little care we have for the truth. It's in rare supply. I'm telling you, it is an endangered species in this business. I know it for a fact. I could talk to you about it at length. I know conversations that take place. I know how fear runs every decision. And nobody cares about the truth. And they won't care they got it wrong. They won't care they got it wrong for days. It won't matter. There'll be no price to pay. It's not that it's a hoax. You don't have to run there. The potential always existed that it could be a misunderstanding. Always existed. But nobody was interested in that because you're not interested in the truth. There'll be no price to pay either. And not caring about the truth. The media has a massive indictment. You want to know prices to pay? Here they are. Now you have sowed massive distrust. Now you have sowed massive, not just of the media, of each other. There are protests. There is violence. There are riots taking place in our country now. Tensions could not be higher. And there are people who have lost their lives, not just at the hands of police brutality, but from each other. Do those lives not matter? I'm serious. This job has a responsibility to it. It's at a minimum to seek the truth, and if you're good at it, to tell the truth, to be brave enough to do so. And if you don't, stay quiet. Whatever you project to us on a daily basis that makes you feel better about yourself, it's not worth you being wrong and costing people's lives, because it does. It costs actual life. Our job is just simple. It's not hard. It's to try to tell the truth. I don't know if we're incompetent. I don't know if we're just bad at it. Or if we don't give a damn. I don't know and I don't care anymore. Weakness. Selfishness. Audience building. Virtue signaling. Everything is more important than telling the damn truth. Fear. Unpopularity. Unlikability. Everything is more important than telling the damn truth. Even asking the questions, being curious, doing the basic fundamentals of being a journalist. And then we have the nerve to turn around and mock. There are people in our business to say things just to get attention over really silly little sports stuff, and we mock them as though we live on a high horse over them. No, we don't. We just do the same thing, just puff our peacock feathers out further. It's this industry is sick. It's broken, perhaps permanently. It has personal costs, it has societal costs. Want to make this country better? Want to bring people together? Want progress? Want to sort out our disagreements? Start with the truth. If you can't, I don't believe you about anything you hope to accomplish. What permanent damage to NASCAR, what permanent damage to this industry, what permanent damage to the truth. Unfortunately, there'll be no permanent damage to any of the individual reputations that care so little about it. You can go read it online, the FBI statement when it comes to what happened with Bubba Wallace and NASCAR this week. It's a shame. It's going to be a real step back for anybody that cares about race relations, about progress in this country. We'll finish our movie rankings, our guilty pleasures. I'll even save some time to hear from you coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier. With more than 30 coverage options available, Progressive has you covered. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. More Will Cain Show coming up next. And you can check out the latest ESPN Daily presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. It's Will Cain.
What do you mean? Will Cain's in his 30s, isn't he?
No, actually.
Oh, wait a second. Will Cain is 43 years old. He is 2 years younger than me.
The secret is he bathes in the blood of the innocent.
Don't worry. More Will Cain is coming up.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Save a few minutes here at the end of the show to finish off our guilty pleasure movies with Mike's Vacation and our final rankings. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. If you're just joining us, the breaking news is the FBI has said no hate crime took place at Bubba Wallace's garage at Talladega Super Speedway. NASCAR has now confirmed in response to the FBI's investigation that the quote-unquote noose was a garage door pull handle, one that broke off in October 2019 and had been displaced and hanging in the number four garage or placed in the number four garage since that time. Nobody knew that Bubba Wallace would be assigned to the number four garage. It wasn't a noose. It was a garage door pull handle. Nobody cared about the truth. Nobody sought the truth. In fact, it was actively discouraged. It's an embarrassment to NASCAR. It's an embarrassment to this society right now, and it sets us back. It has real costs, real massive human interaction and livelihoods and lives that will be cost because nobody cared about the truth. Wilson in Texas is on the phone lines. What's up?
Hello, Will. I'm a big fan of the show. I want to make a couple points here. The first point I wanted to say is I'm actually proud of NASCAR for first investigating or allowing an outside body to investigate in their area, knowing that NASCAR generally is known for harboring a somewhat racist sign and allowing the rebel flag, a defeated relic, to be flown at their event.
Stop with number one, Wilson. NASCAR did not do as you just said. I'm not going to simply sit and let the truth die. NASCAR rushed to a judgment, put out a press release, and said that a noose was found in Bubba Wallace's garage. NASCAR did not wait for answers, did not ask questions, did not wait to tell us what happened. I don't know if you've been awake for the last two or three days, but there's been a massive national conversation and a response to the idea that a noose was placed in Bubba Wallace's garage. That did not happen. And it took two or three days of investigation from the FBI to correct the misstatement by NASCAR. If you want to choose to be proud of NASCAR, cool. But it was based, your pride is based on a lie.
I don't think so, Will.
Okay. I mean, the FBI and NASCAR have now told you it wasn't true. You don't care. Go to number two.
I think that those that are tired of hearing about the races and the racism in this country, just imagine all the people that are tired of dealing with it.
What does that have to do with this instance and whether or not the truth was revealed and how we ran with this story?
I believe the fact of the matter that NASCAR, the fact that they investigated at all, is a step in the right way.
They did not investigate it at all. They turned it over to the FBI.
Who they allowed to investigate.
NASCAR did not investigate. The Federal Bureau of Investigation did and came back with their response 2 days later. NASCAR, within 2 hours of this report, put out a press release. They did not investigate it. There's also, by the way, video evidence was available. So there were some minimum bars that NASCAR could have crossed, minimum thresholds. They did not. Go ahead. I want to hear number two and three. I don't have a ton of time.
Anyone.
I don't have a ton of time. Number two and three.
Understand.
Did you have two or three points you said? I let you make one. I thought you had number two and
he
three.
He gone.
All right. You have to care about the truth. I have no time for you if you don't. No time. No more. No more patience. No more time. We disagree. We welcome it on this show. Always. Disagreement about our opinions. We will not disagree about the importance of the truth. Don't you understand, by the way, the costs? Do you think this inflames racial relations or solves them? Do you think this helps human progression or hurts it? Do you think this helps civilization, which is founded upon basic principles, the truth among them, or hurts it? Again, go to the FBI or NASCAR statements. You can see what has happened over the last couple of days. It has irreparable damage, as far as I'm concerned, to NASCAR and most of the industry that calls itself the media. I think it also, unfortunately, is going to hurt Bubba Wallace. We have no idea. It looks like Bubba Wallace knew very little about this. But once again, you want to talk about cost when you don't care about the truth? You're about to see something when it comes to Bubba Wallace, probably unfairly here. All right, let's move to our last movie, Vacation. We don't have much time. So let's do our quick reviews for the final Guilty Pleasure movies and get our rankings. Mike H., your movie? Go quickly in first, buddy.
Chris Hemsworth was absolutely fantastic as the Texan, the conservative Texan. The little brother picking on the big brother the whole movie was a fantastic storyline. The only thing that was going against this movie was the fact that the original Vacation was so good.
Yeah, that's tough, man. And they addressed it. It'll be a letdown. Vacation, I say, my wife giggled. She could hear me watching it in bed. Several times she goes, I'm thinking I might like this more than I should. I did as well. But it's just in the end, just a little shallow. And I mean, even compared to some shallow movies, I ranked it number three. Nuno.
It was straight garbage.
Defend yourself here.
It was
five.
Garbage. It was just.
What'd you rank it, Nuno?
It was
fifth.
A five. It was just.
Oh, my.
Based upon the fact that it's the newest movie out of every single one, you would think it would have a little bit something better, and it just wasn't there. Like, poor Christina Applegate.
It's garbage. Like, that's your
plus. Wow. Let's leave a little time here. Bubba, what'd you think?
I mean, I couldn't disagree more. To me, there was number one and then all the rest of the movies. This to me was a clear number one. I had never seen the original Vacation, so I don't know what to compare it to.
Oh my gosh, you're unqualified.
But that shouldn't be held against it.
I mean, the little brother was awesome. Hemsworth was awesome. Every Charlie Day was awesome. Every character who showed up was awesome. It's a good movie. I almost think it shouldn't even be in here because it was that good of a movie.
No, it deserves it.
It's a funny movie. I don't know what – I mean, I don't know what you guys are talking about. It is a legit good movie.
You said number one. Jeez. Pat, where do you have it?
It's like the embodiment of the word sure. That's how I felt about this movie. I have it at three because the whole movie I was like, sure, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't get five. All I got was it's garbage.
It's candy. It's a sugar high.
I understand the two people that have it at three. Me and Bubba have it at one. I don't get five.
So what's our final tally?
So our final tally in last place, Freddie got
beeped. Okay.
Rumble in the Bronx, fourth. Last Dragon, third. Vacation, because somebody voted at five, was number two. And North Shore finished number one.
Absolutely ridiculous.
He wins on his last movie, Will Kane with the North Shore. That's the truth.
Thank you for listening to the Will Kane Podcast. You can listen to the Will Kane Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Kane Podcast.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.